Your circumstances are such that you can't make anything happen. That's why it's a dilemma.
But Dr. Tony Evans says even when life's dilemmas make us feel like we're about to hit bottom, God is ready to help us bounce back.
He wants you to free fall on Him like a bungee jump in spite of your emotional trauma at the moment.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When it feels like you're out of options and your circumstances are about to swallow you up, there's always a way out, or at least a way through. Let's join Dr. Evans as he tells us how to hold on till it comes along and how to recognize it when it does.
If I said to you, remember the Alamo, you would understand what I meant. You would reflect back on a massive event that took place that became the rallying cry of the Battle of Texans against Mexico. If I said, remember Pearl Harbor, you would know what I meant. A rallying cry in World War II as America responded to the events of Pearl Harbor. Israel had an event that became the cataclysmic point of remembrance in their lives. It was the sine qua non, the core event that became the point of reference for their whole future existence. They wanted to move forward in the future in victory, their rallying cry would be, remember the Red Sea. Because it was at that event that God defined Himself in a way that they would never, ever forget. And the way God did it at the Red Sea was He created a dilemma. A dilemma is a situation that hems you in. You're caught in a trap. You're squeezed on all sides by circumstances. Sometimes dilemmas are caused by us, other times by others, but all times we feel we're in a no-win situation. A dilemma is sometimes called a predicament. Other times, it's called being in a pinch. Sometimes, it's called being between a rock and a hard place. Sometimes, you refer to it as being up a creek without a paddle. Others say that they're up a tree. Others say they're in a corner. Still others call it a catch-22. But no matter how you reference it, you feel trapped, stuck, and no way out. Everywhere you look, you are blocked from escaping whatever this dilemma is, either created by you or by circumstances beyond your control. A dilemma is like the attorney who specializes in medical malpractice, finding that he himself needs major surgery. It's called being on the horns of a dilemma. Israel's greatest event comes out of a dilemma. Please note back in chapter 13 of the book of Exodus, verse 18. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Verse 18 says that God led Israel to the Red Sea. We're going to find them in a moment between a rock and a hard place, but I wanted to start off by letting you know the reason they got there is the Bible says God led them there. Now, they're going to wind up in a pickle, in a mess, in a catch-22, up a tree, in a corner, in a pinch. But verse 18 wants to let you know God led him there. Not only that, but verse 21 says, and the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and night. And he did not take the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. They are being led out of Egypt to the promised land, and God is covering them by day with a cloud and illuminating them at night as he takes them to the Red Sea, today called the Gulf of Suez. But it gets worse. They're already headed to the Red Sea, but something happens because we're told in verse 2 of chapter 14 that it looked like the way God was leading them was taking them backwards. Read the first line of verse 2. Tell the sons of Israel to turn back. So they're going this way, and on their way, God says, Moses, tell them to backtrack. So they're going back. They're going this way. God is leading them. Then God tells them, tell them back up. When Pharaoh saw what the Israelites were doing, look at what his conclusion was. For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. Or to put it in everyday language, it'll look like you don't know what you're doing. And guess why it'll look like that? Because you don't know what you're doing. God backs them up into what Pharaoh calls, and what we would call today, a cul-de-sac. He says at the end of verse 2, the wilderness has shut them in. They are boxed in. We got them. Because they're going forward, they're going back, and God backs them up so that they're caught in the wilderness with nowhere to run, no place to go. That's a dilemma. Pharaoh decides that he's changed his mind. He said, you can go after the 10 plagues, but then he changes his mind and decides, well, we're not going to let you go. We want you to stay here. Chapter 14, verse 10 says, and as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way to bring us out of Egypt? Is not this the word which we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Now compare that with the end of verse 8. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Things do change. When God told them leave, they walked out saying, yeah, praise him, hallelujah, isn't God good? He set us free. Two verses later, they are terrorized. Because it looked like they were getting away from their problem. It looked like deliverance had come. God had set them free from Egypt. Only to find out that the deliverance they thought they had is right back up in their face. Has that ever happened to you? You thought God answered your prayer. You thought God delivered you. You thought you had an answer. Only to find out the problem that you thought you were delivered from, that you came to church to praise him for, has reappeared. That's a dilemma. Three things happen in the context of this dilemma. The first thing it says in the text is that they were afraid. In fact, it says in verse 10, they were very frightened. You know what happens when you get scared? You pray. So they cried out to the Lord. They're scared to death, and they cried out to the Lord in their fear. So they got scared, and then they prayed. And then they complained. Moses, why you do this? Why you lead us out here like this? In other words, what they were saying is what we say in a dilemma. This Christian stuff doesn't work. This following God stuff doesn't work. Because look at the mess we're in. At least back in Egypt, we would be alive. But you brought us out here to die. You've exposed us. You put us in a catch-22. They're scared. They pray. And they fuss. You have a confluence of trauma all being whipped up. And why not? They are humans. Pharaoh's coming over here. The Red Sea is over there. They're boxed in by the wilderness. And even Pharaoh knows there's no place to run, no place to hide. And all they see is death. Hopelessness. But I don't want you to forget, God led them. And it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh came after him. Watch this now. The God who led them was creating a situation to box them in.
Dr. Evans will tell us about four vital things we need to know if we're stuck in a dilemma when he continues this lesson from his series, The Comeback. This collection explores ways to reverse the consequences of spiritual failures in your past, find deliverance, and develop the wisdom you need to get your life headed in a new and healthy direction. As a way of investing in you and your family, we'd like you to have this entire 10-CD collection, along with a special bonus, a 52-week devotional from Tony and his son Jonathan called the Kingdom Family Devotional. Topics range from basics of the faith like salvation, prayer, and discipleship, to life essentials like handling money, picking friends, and setting priorities. Both of these powerful resources are yours as our thank you gift when you come alongside Tony's ministry with a contribution of any size. We're completely listener-supported, so your faithfulness is the only way we can keep bringing you this broadcast each day. Again, you can make all the arrangements at tonyevans.org. Or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222. Again, 1-800-800-3222.
Everyone loves a good comeback. The crowds cheer for the underdog just so they can get the emotional high of watching the defeated rise from the ashes and fight their way to victory. They inspire us because they help us believe that whatever we might be facing, hope is just around the corner. Find out how you can have your own personal and spiritual comeback by purchasing Tony Evans' newest book, Your Comeback. Begin the journey to your comeback today. Available in bookstores everywhere.
And when you order your copy, you're qualified to enter our Comeback Sweepstakes for your chance to win an all-expense-paid trip for two to the Holy Land with Dr. Evans this November. But hurry, time is running out. The sweepstakes ends May 5th. No purchase is necessary, and complete rules are online at tonyevans.org. Let's get back to our lesson now. Here's Dr. Evans.
Well, obviously, in a dilemma, when it gets bad enough, the propensity is to panic because you're scared in a dilemma. You're fearful in a dilemma. You're insecure in a dilemma. And so Moses has to calm the people. Always the role of leadership. Verse 13. Moses tells the people four things to keep them at bay in a dilemma. If you're in a dilemma, verse 13, do not fear. They were scared, and he says, do not fear. When the Bible commands you not to fear, what God is saying to you is he wants you to free fall on him. Like a bungee jump. in spite of your emotional trauma at the moment. It is a decision of the will to throw yourself on God in spite of how you feel at the moment. I know it's tough. I know it's uncertain. But he tells them, without giving them a solution, do not fear. That's the first thing. Second thing is, he says, stand still. Or stand by. Or don't run. Don't panic. The whole point is you're in a dilemma and there's no place to go. If you are stuck in a situation and there's no way out, then guess what? There's no way out. So stand right where you are. He says, stand by. Don't run. Stay where you are. Then he says, a third thing, see the salvation of the Lord. Watch God work. In other words, he says, see God. When you're in a dilemma, stop paying so much attention to it. You're looking in the wrong place. You say, but yeah, I'm trapped. I look over here, I see the Red Sea. I look back here, I see Pharaoh coming after me. All I see is them. But wait a minute. After you've looked here, 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 and here, Moses says, look here. I was looking at a news thing about the Terrorism Act, and they were talking about the night goggles that the soldiers who come in at night use to illumine the darkness. Because in the darkness, you can't see. In the darkness, you don't know what's going on. But with these night goggles, you've seen them, they can make clear what is unclear because of their ability to penetrate the darkness. When you're in a dilemma, it's dark because you see no way out. What God wants you to do is put on the goggles of faith and see God in the night. Even though it's dark, even though you can't see, to do like Elijah did with his servant. When his servant says, the enemy is against us, and God said, Elijah said to God, open up his eyes. Help him to see with the eyes of the spirit what he cannot see with his physical eyes, and that is, you are doing something that is not readily apparent. If you are committed to God and he allows you or leads you into a dilemma, he wants you to watch him work. He puts you in a dilemma that you can't fix because he doesn't want you to fix it. He puts you in a situation you can't change because he doesn't want you to change it. He's put you in a catch-22 that you can't get out of because he doesn't want you to get out of it. The reason you're in it is because he wants you to watch him. He wants you to see what he can do when you can't help. Because if some of us weren't put in that situation, we'd never see God. Because we're always trying to help. And so he creates dilemmas where there is no human out. Finally, he says in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. You see, when you're in a dilemma, you always feel like you got to tell somebody. And most of the folk you tell can't help you. Sometimes I know we're not looking for help. We're just looking for somebody to feel sorry with us. Well, they're in a dilemma, and he says, keep silent. Now, what does he mean by keep silent? Well, that takes us back up to what they were just doing, because we look, and it says that they were complaining to Moses. And they said, why? Isn't that the question you have in the dilemma? Why me? Why now? Why this? Why? God is saying, shh, don't talk. He says, keep silent, number one, because you don't know what you're talking about, because you don't have an answer. That's why it's a dilemma. And by all means, don't start complaining. Why? Because you're working against faith. God is saying, look at what I'm doing. Stand, hold your ground. and be quiet. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward, and as for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through in the midst of the sea on dry land. The first reason that you can keep quiet in a dilemma, not fret in a dilemma, even though you don't know what to do in a dilemma, is God will guide you in the direction you should go. But you can't hear him talking if you're talking at the same time. Do you know God has spoken to you about where he wants you to go in the dilemma, but you haven't heard him because you haven't listened? You say, but I don't know how to hear God. Absolutely. If you know God, you can hear God, because what God will do is he will speak through your mind to your spirit, and he will give you ideas that were not originally yours. He will bring to bear on your processes, on your mind, to your spirit. Because you can think a lot of things with your mind and not know which thing is right. But the way you know which thing that you thought is right, it is confirmed deeper than your thought pattern. So you just know that you know. People who complain all the time don't hear God much of the time, because they're not silent. The Bible says in the back of the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent. He's in the place of worship. Why am I in the place of worship, and why am I being silent? Because the Lord is seated on the throne. He's the king. He has something to say. He wants us to pay attention. It's one thing to come to church to hear the sermon. It's another thing to come to church to hear the Lord. Because it's possible to hear the preacher and to hear the sermon and not know what God is saying to you. See, I'm preaching to y'all. See, I'm doing a group sermon here. I'm not going to say something, one thing to you and 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 one thing to you. I don't have enough to say, and I don't have enough time to preach individual sermons. So guess what? I preach one sermon. But you have different needs. You have different dilemmas. You have different circumstances. You have different troubles. How do you know what to do with your situation from this group sermon? Because the role of the Holy Spirit is to take this general sermon and apply it to your specific situation. That's why you don't want to come to hear the sermon, or guess what? You'll leave with a general sermon. You'll leave with a general sermon. But some of you know what it is to come and hear a sermon preached to a lot of folk and feel like God was talking to you. That is because you are listening not to hear a person, not to hear a message, but to hear from God.
Dr. Tony Evans, with some encouragement we can hang on to when it seems like our options have run out. Just before our time runs out, though, I want to remind you about the book I mentioned earlier in the program today, The Kingdom Family Devotional. It's packed with 52 weeks of inspiration for you and your family, and it's yours as our gift when you help us out with any contribution, large or small, to help us keep Tony's teaching on the station. Along with it, you'll get all 10 CDs in Tony's current series, The Comeback. But this special double offer won't last long, so visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements before time runs out. That's TonyEvans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans says we can be our own worst enemy when it comes to solving our dilemmas in life. So on Monday, he'll talk about how we can learn to get out of the way so God can bring us deliverance and get credit for doing it. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.